doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you. No pills gonna cure.
Well, infectious diseases expert Dr. Shelley Gilroy joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Dr. Gilroy.
Good morning, Trisha.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've had a chance to chat. You've been a little tied up with H1N1 swine flu.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's been very busy.
Well, we want to cover a recent headline about colds and flu in a moment, but before we do that, can we get a quick briefing on H1N1? I've heard rumors that it's on the wane, but what's your professional opinion about that?
Well, it's true. It is on the wane. Actually, in New York State, we've gone down from having widespread activity down to regional. They haven't seen a lot of cases in the hospitals, even in this area. I think in the past 2 weeks, we actually haven't had anybody being admitted with H1N1 or suspected H1N1. So it has decreased. The only thing is, I think it's a little bit too premature to say that we've seen the last of it. Most of us are concerned that we may have a second wave perhaps coming up in the next several months. We're hoping that won't happen, though, because there have been a lot of people that have received the vaccine, and mm-hmm. we think that maybe we're seeing some of the results of that at this time.
You know, there was so much hubbub, so much furor over this vaccine and whether or not people should get it. Have you been satisfied or dissatisfied with, say, the numbers of people who actually chose to get the vaccine?
Yes, actually I have. And I think even in the hospitals that I'm working at, the percentage of even healthcare providers getting the flu vaccine this year has increased markedly, almost doubled since last year.
Wow, that is remarkable. Mm-hmm. And for those who want to get the vaccine, it's pretty readily available now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You can get it in most drugstores, too, and just call your primary care provider, and I'm sure a lot of them have it at this time.
Yeah, and you know, it's also a good reminder that there are two flus that we're thinking about this year, not just the H1N1, that's the one that gets all the headlines, but
right.
Is seasonal flu starting to kick into gear now?
Yeah, this is seasonal flu time. So right now, that's what we're a little bit, we're watching and waiting what's going to happen with that.
Does it seem to you at all that there may be less or more of the seasonal flu based on H1N1? I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if people are at all protected because they got one of the shots or the other shot or both shots.
Well, it might have some effect, but in the past, when you look at the history of pandemics,
mm-hmm.
Usually what happens is the predominant strain that's around during the pandemic, pretty much wipes out the seasonal flu strains or the strains that are coming on the rise. But that has been reported in past pandemics that seasonal flu usually doesn't show up. You see more predominance of the pandemic strain.
Yeah, interesting. So you wouldn't be surprised to see that at all then. Well, you know, the reason we wanted to talk to you this morning is because there was a recent article in the New York Times talking about some of our basic understandings and misunderstandings about plain old seasonal colds and flu and the fact that Americans spend literally billions of dollars on remedies, and yet there still really isn't a cure. So I have to ask you, mm-hmm. what do you think about spending all that money on trying to treat plain old seasonal colds and flus?
I think a lot of it right now, since there's not enough data to support these different types of treatment, is going to be a waste of your money. I think the best way to keep yourself healthy, again, is just common things like getting enough rest, staying well hydrated, and exercising moderately, and just washing your hands. Also, making sure you get your vaccines, your seasonal flu vaccine, and the H1N1. And then any other vaccines that you might be due for, such as, you know, tetanus. Those are all of those vaccinations you really need to keep updated to keep yourself healthy.
You know, vaccines were built, and we can do a little basic high school biology here. What I remember learning is that what it did was it gave you a little bit of whatever the disease, the germ was, mm-hmm. so that your body would build these antibodies to fight it.
Exactly.
And then people say, well, for heaven's sakes, all of these years later with medical science the way it is, why is there no cure for the colds mm-hmm. or flu?
It's because they're viruses, and it's very difficult because viruses change. There are so many different strains out there, and each virus, each class of virus has different strains, so they've tried for many years to create vaccines, even with HIV infection,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been very difficult because viruses are known to change a lot, and that's why it's very difficult to try to get a vaccine developed.
Yeah, in many ways, it almost seems like they're smarter than we are.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it might probably true.
Yeah, they figure out what we're all about, and they figure out what it takes to overcome us, and then they evolve to that, don't they?
The same could be said for bacteria, too, because now we have those super bugs out there that are smart enough now to become drug resistant to most of the antibiotics that we have available.
Exactly, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that actually raises the question. We can do all kinds of preventive things. We can keep our hands washed, and we can cough into our elbows, and we can do all those things. But most of us still go to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. You know, we still go to work.
Right.
We touch things that other people who maybe already have the germs have touched. And then we do get colds and flu. And, you know, we can't always prevent them. So you look at all of these products, cold medicines and antibiotics even, and those kinds of things. Are they worth the money we're spending on them?
Probably not, especially if you have a viral infection. Antibiotics won't work, and a lot of times they are a waste of your money.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of side effects.
But what about symptoms relievers, you know, things that help me stop coughing or make my headache go away?
Some of the, you know, cough medicines do help, and some of the antihistamines and decongestants, some of the anti-inflammatory agents do help if you're having, you know, muscle aches and joint aches. Some of them don't work, but I guess my advice would be if they do work for you, you know, take them, but take them as prescribed. But if they don't work, then I think it's probably a waste of your money.
And, of course, the FDA banned children's cold medicines.
Yes, yes, because of some of the problems with the ingredients in them that cause some serious side effects in kids.
And then, you know, we hear about parents who just therefore give their children smaller doses of adult cold medicines. What should they be doing instead?
Oh, they shouldn't be doing that at all. They should avoid doing that because that's pretty dangerous because you don't know exactly. You don't know exactly the amount of dose that you're giving them, and it could be cause some serious side effects.
Yeah, that's true. And then, of course, there's always chicken soup. You know what? I make great chicken soup. I actually should probably bottle it and sell it, right?
Yes, you should continue to do that. I mean, warm liquids, too, like tea, have shown to help, and sometimes saline rinses in the nose can also help keep the
neti pots,
moist and increase nasal secretions and also prevent secondary sinus infections.
Very
Humidifiers
good.
And hot showers are good too.
All of those good things. And they're all symptoms relievers, and that's the best we can do for now,
exactly.
isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Shelley Gilroy, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The perfect is the enemy of the good, or charging through our obsessing. Well, folks, do you ever have trouble making up your mind? Just the other day, I had a free hour, and sat down to write this week's Checkup from the Neck Up, but I just could not decide what to write. So, hour's up. My secretary says, my client's here, and in the waiting room is pro football quarterback Brett Favre, in uniform, but with a Minnesota Vikings jersey up top and New York Jets tights. So, in he comes and says, remember when I came in last year, Doc, and was having trouble deciding whether to hang up my spikes and retire? Sure do, Brett. But I'm a little confused. Didn't you play for the Jets last year, and don't you play for the Vikings now? You got it, Nick. So why the Vikings jersey up top and the Jets pants? What's the prob, Fav? Doc, I can't decide if I should play for the Vikings this weekend or quit and see if I can play for the Jets. I like that team, too. I kind of hoped you'd tell me what to do. Sorry, Mr. QB, but I got enough problems of my own deciding how to live my life. However, I certainly know how you feel. I just spent the last hour trying to decide what to write for my Checkup from the Neck Up. It is painful, isn't it, not being able to decide? Wow. Doc, you know what? Just taking the chance to say this out loud and hearing somebody else, you, have the same kind of problem, I'm feeling better already. And I'm staying Vikings. And hey, Doc, why don't you write about us, talking about how hard it is to decide what to do sometimes? Great idea, Bretzky, and how it doesn't really matter how it works out after you decide too much and whether you get the touchdown or not. Yeah, Doc, just being totally in the game is what really wins whatever game you're playing. Yeah, Brett, football or retirement or whatever. But, Doc, just tell me one more thing before I go. I'm worried that my butt looks too big in my Vikings tights compared with these Jets tights. Should I wear these with the Vikings jersey this weekend? Bretzky, do you ever worry if your butt looks too big when you're charging for the end zone? No. Oh, I get it, Necky. Vikings all the way. Good luck in the game, Brett. And good luck throwing ourselves into our game, dear listeners. Or now that we're on YouTube, maybe I should say dear viewers, or maybe dear tuner-inners, to cover both bases. Well, I'm Dr. Rich, the sometimes overthinker O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.